Hello and welcome to Niaga Spotlight with me, Tamina Kausci. Niaga Spotlight goes through the week in business and future affairs, market watch, industries, analysis and insights. We've got you covered on Niaga Spotlight. Well, for today's analysis, we'll be looking at personal data breaches, which are a regular occurrence in Malaysia, accompanied by heavy privacy impacts and economic costs. In fact, Communications and Digital Minister Fahmi Fazil acknowledged this week the necessity for amending the Personal Data Protection Act, PDPA 2010, by next year to prevent personal data from being stolen and used in fraud. FYI, in 2022 alone, there were several major data breaches involving high-profile companies and government agencies. One of the biggest data breaches in Malaysia last year was when the personal details of 22 million Malaysians, allegedly from the National Registration Department, NRD, were leaked and sold online. An MCMC report also found a website listing personal data of 3.5 million Astro subscribers, 1.8 million Maybank accounts and 7.2 million users. Further, Cybersecurity Malaysia CSM records show 19 cases of personal data breaches in 2020, 28 in 2021 and 50 cases in 2022, while from January to February alone this year, a total of 49 cases were recorded. Seven of these cases have been charged and court under Section 5, Act 709, with total compounds amounting to 200,000 ringgit, and eight cases under Section 16, with compounds totaling 81,000 ringgit. Taking all of this into account, today we focus on the importance of Malaysia's personal data protection being more comprehensive. This in accordance with data protection as integral to not just human rights, but also looking towards regional and international standards such as Singapore's model and the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, or the GDPR. Munira Mustafa, founder and executive director of Shoso Group, joins us online now to discuss personal data protection. Good morning, Munira. Thank you so much for joining me on Niaga Spotlight.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Munira, I'd like to begin by asking you, what can Malaysia learn from Singapore regarding data protection policies and regulations, especially considering the recent January 2023 MOU signed between Singapore and Malaysia? This was, of course, on cooperation in personal data protection, cybersecurity and digital economy. Your thoughts on this?
Right. What I can understand from the MOU cooperation between Malaysia and Singapore is that it involves the exchange of knowledge and best practices, educational capacity building programs, enforcement efforts, and mechanisms to promote cross-border data flows. So what we can learn from Singapore is that their Personal Data Protection Act, the PDPA, which offers a pragmatic approach to data protection. It applies universally to private sector organizations, and it involves maintaining consistency in data protection standards. So the law, it mandates that the appointment of a data protection officer within each organization, and that allows certain data processing activities without consent under specific circumstances, and it provides clear guidelines for data breach management and enforces strict penalties for non-compliance up to $1 million.
That's very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Munira, and setting the scene for the rest of the conversation. Now, of course, development and implementation of even the ASEAN cross-border data flow mechanism under the ASEAN framework on digital data governance, these could also be some things and issues which could come up because the MOU is actually valid for 5 years till January 2026. So moving along from there, Munira, let's talk a little bit about what are some proactive steps then which can be taken by all organizations in Malaysia that process data to update their existing data processing policies, their systems, their procedures, their processes. It's not enough, of course, to just be committed to cybersecurity. We need to see the actions happen and happen fast, right?
So the 5 years, there's a reason for that five-year limit. Organizations can enhance the data processing policies by frequently updating their data protection policies. And again, as I said, mentioned that they need to appoint a data protection officer and manage consent effectively and conduct regular data mapping. And that's why you have to have that five-year cycle, because this requires reviews and renewal consistently. Apart from that, implementing data minimization and robust security measures, conducting staff training on data protection, integrating privacy by design and process, formulating a breach management plan, and carrying out regular audits are also necessary proactive steps.
Thank you. Thanks very much for that. And of course, within all of this, communicating this to customers, to users on a consistent basis, because I think with all the data breaches that have been happening, especially over the pandemic's increased access and use to everything internet, what we have been seeing is a lot of exhaustion around data privacy itself. Most Malaysian consumers have taken a little bit of a how do we start? Begin caring, and should we even care anymore? Moving along, Munira, data privacy laws in Malaysia do face enormous problems with implementation, as you've already alluded to. And despite increasing allocations to improve cybersecurity, data of Malaysians, we continue to experience some of the worst data breaches in the region. So do you feel increasing fines is an approach that will work to address the issue? Bearing in mind, of course, that neither NRD nor private sector offenders like IP88 have been fined. And what we have available under legislative grievances right now is 300,000 ringgit or 2 years in jail or both if found guilty. But nobody has actually been charged for this insofar.
Right. So increasing fines, it could work as a potential deterrent for data breaches. But it's not a complete solution. While heavy penalties can provide an incentive for companies to enhance their cybersecurity measures, that's not going to address the root cause. And this requires a comprehensive approach that includes fostering a strong culture of compliance within organizations, increasing awareness about the importance of data privacy among the general public and employees, and encouraging proactive measures like regular audits and data mapping. And additionally, the legal framework itself should be regularly updated to keep up with the evolving technological landscape and associated risks, because they're going to keep changing. So a holistic approach that includes improved enforcement, regular audits, and increased accountability across government agencies and private sector entities are necessary.
Absolutely. Regular audits and, of course, increasing accountability, particularly when it comes to especially government-related offences that are potential. Moving along to a last discussion area, Munira, what will it take to get Malaysia's infrastructure and data security right, especially looking at how international companies like AWS are planning to invest up to 25.5 billion ringgit in Malaysia by 2037 for their cloud computing infrastructures?
To improve Malaysia's data security, it's going to require a strengthened legal framework that aligns with international standards like the European General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, or Singapore's CDPA, and a significant investment in robust digital structure, infrastructure, and enhancing technical skills in cybersecurity through capacity building. We also should look into fostering public-private partnerships that can leverage technical expertise, enforce regulatory compliance, promote a robust culture of cybersecurity and OPSEC, and engage international cooperation for sharing best practices and threat intelligence.
Thank you. Thank you for that overview, Munira. And if I could ask you on one final area, in your view, if all of this were to be done holistically, how long, and is there a specific time frame we can expect to attach to it if all of this should happen cohesively?
We should have been starting like yesterday, literally yesterday. And because this is a process that's going to be taking years, but that's okay because things change rapidly and the best thing we can do is just hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking about hitting the ground running, though, as we have a little more time left available, when you speak about data security, what are some of the most prominent issues that have cropped up to you, particularly in relation to not just the fact that we're looking at personal data being leaked for usage by nefarious parties, but at the same time looking at the wider ecosystem of information, particularly in upcoming election cycles, for example?
There's data leaks can involve micro-targeting, and that's going to involve the threat actors knowing what exactly how to tailor their approach and target consumers and audiences like us. I think the current concern is mainly about the loss of finance, which is why the LHDN scam is so pervasive, because people still fall for that, even though they shouldn't believe that when they pick up the phone, they shouldn't believe that the person speaking to them is from an LHDN. I think this is an issue that could be improved by improving the information environment themselves, because information and understanding of government processes should be improved so that people, the public, should understand the very basic fact that an LHDN officer would never approach them via the telephone because it only involves written communication and approach. So that's a very small approach to try and address a problem, but moving on from it's going to involve a very comprehensive overhaul of the entire information system.
Yes, absolutely. I think you've observed it very accurately that it looks at overhauling the entire information ecosystem. And one last point that I would like for you to leave us with, Munira, when it comes to improving personal data protection, could you reiterate what would be the 1 to 3 major areas that need to be acted upon immediately, as you said yesterday, but let's just re-emphasize them.
Sorry, could you repeat that? I couldn't hear it.
Sure. I was asking what would be the first 1 or 2 things which we need to operationalize in order to get our personal data protection ecosystem right. And as you said, it ought to have been yesterday.
Right. That would involve improving awareness. The public has to understand what are their responsibilities on their own data. That's one. But ultimately, it's data custodian that have to improve their own security and management of the database themselves. And this has been raised several times before because it seems that a lot of the onus and the burden are being placed on the end users. However, when you look back at a lot of the leakages that has happened, that seems to be coming from the custodians themselves. So I'm not sure what we're doing to actually call into question why the breaches are happening and what is being done about it, but I'm saying that this is something that should require a closer look.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Munira, for your time. So that, of course, was Munira Mustafa, founder and executive director of Shiso Group, giving us a well-rounded perspective of legal, technical and organizational measures, capacity development and cooperation required for ensuring personal data protection for Malaysia. We take a quick break now. Stay with us as we come right back with Niaga Spotlight.